This is the Internet Multicasting Service. Harper Audio presents actor Norman Matlock recreating a speech by abolitionist Frederick Douglass. This speech, an appeal to the British people for their help in ending slavery, was originally given in London on May 12, 1846. This is part one of three.
I feel exceedingly glad of the opportunity now afforded me of presenting the claims of my brethren in bonds in the United States to so many in London and from various parts of Britain who have assembled here on the present occasion. I have nothing to commend me to your consideration in the way of learning, nothing in the way of education to entitle me to your attention, and you are aware that slavery is a very bad school for rearing teachers of morality and religion. 21 years of my life have been spent in slavery, personal slavery, surrounded by degrading influences such as can exist nowhere beyond the pale of slavery, and it will not be strange if under such circumstances I should betray in what I have to say to you a deficiency of that refinement which is seldom or ever found, except among persons that have experienced superior advantages to those which I have enjoyed. But I will take it for granted that you know something about the degrading influences of slavery, and that you will not expect great things from me this evening, but simply such facts as I may be able to advance immediately in connection with my own experience of slavery. Now, what is this system of slavery? This is the subject of my lecture this evening. What is the character of this institution? I am about to answer this inquiry, what is American slavery? I do this the more readily since I have found persons in this country who have identified the term slavery with which I think it is not, and in some instances I have feared in so doing, have rather, unwittingly I know, detracted much from the horror with which the term slavery is contemplated. It is common in this country to distinguish every bad thing by the name of slavery. Intemperance is slavery. To be deprived of the right to vote is slavery, says one. To have to work hard is slavery, says another. And I do not know but that if we should let them go on, they would say that to eat when we are hungry, to walk when we desire to have exercise, or to minister to our necessities, or have necessities at all, is slavery. I do not wish for a moment to detract from the horror with which the evil of intemperance is contemplated, not at all. Nor do I wish to throw the slightest obstruction in the way of any political freedom that any class of persons in this country may desire to obtain. But I am here to say that I think the term slavery is sometimes abused by identifying it with that which it is not. Slavery in the United States is the granting of that power by which one man exercises and enforces a right of property in the body and soul of another. The condition of a slave is simply that of the brute beast. He is a piece of property, a marketable commodity in the language of the law, to be bought or sold at the will and caprice of the master who claims him to be his property. He is spoken of, thought of, and treated as property. His own good, his conscience, his intellect, his affections are all set aside by the master. The will and the wishes of the master are the law of the slave. He is as much a piece of property as a horse. If he is fed, he is fed because he is property. If he is clothed, it is with a view to the increase of his value as property. Whatever of comfort is necessary to him for his body or soul that is inconsistent with his being property is carefully wrested from him, not only by public opinion, but by the law of the country. He is carefully deprived of everything that tends in the slightest degree to detract from his value as property. He is deprived of education. God has given him an intellect. The slaveholder declares it shall not be cultivated. If his moral perception leads him in a course contrary to his value as property, the slaveholder declares he shall not exercise it. The marriage institution cannot exist among slaves, and 1/6 of the population of democratic America is denied its privileges by the law of the land. What is to be thought of a nation boasting of its liberty, boasting of its humanity, boasting of its Christianity, boasting of its love of justice and purity, and yet having within its own borders 3 millions of persons denied by law the right of marriage? What must be the condition of that people? I need not lift up the veil by giving you any experience of my own. Everyone that can put two ideas together must see the most fearful results from such a state of things as I have just mentioned. If any of these 3 millions find for themselves companions and prove themselves honest, upright, virtuous persons to each other, yet in these cases, few as I am bound to confess they are, the virtuous live in constant apprehension of being torn asunder by the merciless men-stealers that claim them as their property. This is American slavery. No marriage, no education. The light of the gospel shut out from the dark mind of the bondman, and he forbidden by the law to learn to read. If a mother shall teach her children to read, the law in Louisiana proclaims that she may be hanged by the neck. If the father attempt to give his son a knowledge of letters, he may be punished by the whip in one instance, and in another be killed at the discretion of the court. 3 millions of people shut out from the light of knowledge. It is easy for you to conceive the evil that must result from such a state of things. I now come to the physical evils of slavery. I do not wish to dwell at length upon these, but it seems right to speak of them, not so much to influence your minds on this question, as to let the slaveholders of America know that the curtain which conceals their crimes is being lifted abroad, that we are opening the dark cell and leading the people into the horrible recesses of what they are pleased to call their domestic institution. We want them to know that a knowledge of their whippings, their scourgings, their brandings, their chainings is not confined to their plantations, but that some Negro of theirs has broken loose from his chains, has burst through the dark incrustation of slavery, and is now exposing their deeds of deep damnation to the gaze of the Christian people of England. The slaveholders resort to all kinds of cruelty. If I were disposed, I have matter enough to interest you on this question for 5 or 6 evenings, but I will not dwell at length upon these cruelties. Suffice it to say that all the peculiar modes of torture that were resorted to in the West India Islands are resorted to, I believe, even more frequently in the United States of America. Starvation, the bloody whip, the chain, the gag, the thumbscrew, cat-hauling, the cat-o'-nine-tails, the dungeon, the bloodhound, are all in requisition to keep the slave in his condition as a slave in the United States. If anyone has a doubt upon this point, I would ask him to read the chapter on slavery in Dickens's Notes on America. If any man has a doubt upon it, I have here the testimony of 1,000 witnesses, which I can give at any length, all going to prove the truth of my statement. The bloodhound is regularly trained in the United States, and advertisements are to be found in the southern papers of the Union from persons advertising themselves as bloodhound trainers and offering to hunt down slaves at $15 apiece, recommending their hounds as the fleetest in the neighborhood, never known to fail. Advertisements are from time to time inserted, stating that slaves have escaped with iron collars about their necks, with bands of iron about their feet, marked with the lash, branded with red-hot irons, the initials of their master's name burned into their flesh, and their masters advertise the fact of their being thus branded with their own signature, thereby proving to the world that, however damning it may appear to non-slaveholders, such practices are not regarded discreditable among the slaveholders themselves. Why, I believe if a man should brand his horse in this country, burn the initials of his name into any of his cattle, and publish the ferocious deed here, that the united execrations of Christians in Britain would descend upon him. Yet in the United States, human beings are thus branded. As Whittier says, our countrymen in chains, the whip on woman's shrinking flesh, our soil yet reddening with the stains caught from her scourgings, warm and fresh.
This has been Harper Audio. HarperCollins is a copyright owner of this recording and has consented to a limited distribution of Harper Audio as an 8 kHz computer sound file on Internet Town Hall. It is a violation of United States and international copyright laws to copy these recordings in any other way. Harper Audio is a trademark of HarperCollins Publishers, Inc. To order a copy of this tape or to request a catalog of all Harper Audio spoken word cassettes, please call 1-800-C-HARPER or 717-941-1214 or send mail to harper@town.hall.org. This has been a production of the Internet Multicasting Service. Support for Harper Audio is provided by HarperCollins and by Sun Microsystems and O'Reilly & Associates. Network connectivity for the Internet Multicasting Service is provided by UUNET Technologies and MFS DataNet.